Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
All righty, it is episode 37 of Coffee and Shell, the NHL-related podcast, and we are into July.
That was the least enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're here still. We're here. Yeah. You can, dude, 37 is a lot, and I mean, we started in like September of last year, so we're almost at like a year.
Yeah, we are. We've averaged probably an episode like every like 8 to 9 days, you know, considering some were like, you know, a 10 to 12 day gap. So I think it's pretty good. That's consistency right there.
Absolutely. That is consistency. Guys, on today's episode of Coffee and Shell, we are going to give our GWC predictions as I leave at the time of this recording. I leave tomorrow at like 4 a.m. to head to Montreal. And the GWC finals will be this Wednesday. And someone's going to finally win this tournament. This has gone on since, like, March. But nonetheless, it's still going. We're also going to talk about... So I keep getting questions on my YouTube channel about, like, X-Factor abilities. And maybe we've talked about them throughout the year, like, ad nauseum. But I think that we could have... Now the game is, like, done, and they're releasing just absolute meme cards, which is... I actually like. I think it's funny that what they're doing. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but... Just like X-Factor abilities that we find that are still useful at 99 HUT. I also want to talk about this currency thing that I kind of came up with. I might have touched on it last week, but I just want to touch on it again because I really think I was onto something there. And then we're going to do our top five favorite athletes. And yeah, all right, let's get it. Let's start with our GWC predictions.
Yes.
All right, for anyone that's been following around the GWC, there's 8 kids left in the North American tournaments, which is viewed as the bigger tournaments. Obviously, the Europeans don't have the same amount of player base, but Ekki had already won that. This one is going to be fun. It's like definitely like a new wave of esports, like kids that are at the top end of this game. Now,
dude,
as the last, like,
it's all kids, right? Like this is the
this
first
time it
year
is all
where it's been like all kids.
Yeah, I think. Man, just looking at the list right here, Sap has got to be the oldest one, and I don't even think he's like 25.
He's young. He might be like 22 or something. Now, he has man in his name. I don't know how old Lebanese man is.
I don't think so. I think he's 22, maybe.
Okay.
But like, I remember going to 2019, which was the second year, and it was like John Wayne, like who's like 30 now, like, you know what I mean? Junior Pens is getting up there. How old is Pens now? 26?
I think so, yeah. And that's old.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. He'd be the oldest by a few.
Yeah. And Cooks, I believe, is 25, the top shelf cookie.
Yeah.
Right? Grind has been in it every single year, which we need to say one more time. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty
just
good.
The way that each, like that, to not get an unlucky bounce, you know, because like he's been on the ropes like multiple times, multiple years. So, got to give, you know, props where it's due. But yeah, let's do, it is definitely like a new era of NHL esports, I feel. So we'll see how it ends, but let's get down to our final 8 players and we'll just go through the matchups. This is the matchups, from my understanding, and the bracket does not reseed. So we will know who wins each matchup, who is going to play. So we'll start with Jose versus Sap. I feel Sap Alien. I feel like Sap is extremely good, extremely underrated. Reminds me a lot of what happened with Nuke when Nuke first became like on the scene at GWC. West Coast kids, no one ever plays against him. Like they just, you know what I mean? Like, so he's from out in Vancouver, I believe. Most of the player base, I would say 60% of the player base is all in around, you know, like Ontario, New York, Pittsburgh area, like that like area.
Yeah.
And then the other 40 is made up of EU and West and like, you know, left of that. So a lot of the top end players, you don't get to see a lot of them. I mean, before GBC, no one, I don't think anyone knew who John Wayne was. Same with like Nuke, like all those guys, you know, that come out from the West, like you never know. Jose has quickly become like one of the best young players. We saw him in the Tampa Bay esports events that I got to cast in February. He got crushed by Eki in a best of three in game one, like 6-7-0, and Eki started like toying with him, and then won the next two and knocked out Eki, which is stunning. Let's start with that one. All right, so who do you think comes out of Joe's versus Sap?
I gotta go with Sap on that one, so I'm a little bit biased. I really like Sap's play style to go far in this tournament. I think it's important to have good defense. And he plays a little bit different than everybody else in here.
Slow.
Yeah, he does. I think that's important. The other important thing, his confidence right now is, like, through the roof. Like, he thinks in his mind, like, he knows he's going to win. Whether or not that happens, it doesn't matter. But you have to think that. So I'm going to go with Sap over Joe's for that first
game. I personally think that Joe's is the better player, just, like, skill-wise. However, there is something to be said. This isn't just about like NHL esports either. Like there, when you, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You could be playing like lawn darts for $25,000. You're insanely nervous, you know, until you've been there a lot. I think that that's something that comes with qualifying for tournaments like these. Even if you don't do well, you get to feel what it feels like. And then the next time is a little bit easier. You look like Gren and Regs, who we're going to talk about in a little bit. I feel like I'm sure they get nervous, but you could never tell because their game really doesn't change, right? Like, it doesn't change. The thing I'll say about Jose is, like, he's so young. Like, I think he's 18. And I wonder how he would handle the nerves, you know, being around, like, everyone. Like, the thing is like, those, so, like, Jose and all those guys, like, they're friends, right? You've got a lot of support there, right? But you also don't want to be, you don't want to get embarrassed. Right, I don't want to say Sap doesn't have anyone. Like that's not what I mean. But like, I just feel like I could see a situation where Joe just doesn't perform the way that he will. So this one's really hard, man.
Yeah, it is.
This one's really hard.
I mean, I think it's a toss up when you look at like, you might be right. Joe is probably a little bit more skilled, but it's probably going to go to three games, right?
I will say it goes to Sap as well. I think Sap will win this one. Now, the thing you have to remember is that this is off camera. This is happening the day before the finals. So the quarterfinals, all these first-round matchups, they're all going to happen in, like, a room. And then they film it a little bit and put a package together because the stream can't be, like, 8 hours long. If they did a quarterfinals, best of three, all the way to the finals, the broadcast would be, like, 6 hours long. So, yeah, I'm going to say it's Sap on that one. Okay, the next one's Regs and Uninstall.
You know who I'm going with, right?
I mean, Uninstall, I'm happy for you, and I'm excited that you got the trip and the experience, but Regs is playing, which is so weird because he did it so quietly this year. It wasn't like the past years where he dominated every single event and there was no way to, like, avoid him. Like, you couldn't avoid his name in prior years. It felt like he was just, like, focused on school and, like, did sixes because he competed at every top-end sixes.
And then he was like, okay, I guess it's time to try.
I guess it's for hot. Yeah, he's like, all right, I guess it's time to lock in.
It might have been last month on here where I was like, Regs is, like, better than he was last year.
That's what you said. I was like, I was blown away. Yeah. And, you know, he beat Gren in the in his PlayStation 5 finals, which was the hardest console. He played probably the best game I've ever seen him play. In game one of the upper bracket final, and then he survived the other games against Gren. Gren played really well, but Regs just did enough. It didn't feel like he was winning them, but he went three.
So they played another series after, right?
Yes, but Regs had a plus one.
Yeah, he did. Did Gren kind of mail it in? Because I didn't watch that one, and I saw it was like a 2-0 sweep.
No, but like it was. He was fighting it.
Okay.
He's fighting
it. That's hard to get up for that, because you know you have to, like, beat Regs in two.
Dude, that's huge. We're going to talk about why that series was so big. Had Regs, like, the issue with Regs and Gren playing each other on the same console is that one of them is going to lose, and that means that you lose and you have a potential chance. You have to play a winner of one of the other consoles.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go. We're both going SAP and we're both going regs. Next, the lower next of the other bracket would be Polgs and Gren in round one, and that's not on stream, and it's probably the best matchup that you can get.
I know.
So why before you give me your prediction, this is why losing that was so brutal for Gren, because now it would have been Gren versus uninstall, and now it's Gren versus Polgs. So arguably the second hardest player in the field, if you were like ranking them in terms of like, you know, players you don't want to play, Polgs would definitely be it. So I can't wait to watch that in person. I hope it's not leaked. I'm sure it will be, but you know, one of them is not going to the final four.
Yeah, which is crazy to think, right? That's gonna be a good series. So I am going with, unless you have anything else to add.
Nope,
dude. I'm going Gren in the sweep. He's gonna 2-0 Polgs.
I think Polgs wins.
You think Polgs wins? Okay.
I don't know. Like, man, I don't know what it, this is. It no disrespect to Gren. No disrespect to Gren. I have been at or at least involved in all the GWCs, and the one I wasn't, it was even worse for him. There is something about Gren on land of the GWC where he just does not play well. He won last year. It was all online. But this will be the third time in the prior two times that he had made GWC, he did not do well at all. And I don't know if it's like a pressure thing. The only thing I'll say is that every year he was assumed to be the best player. And this year, he could arguably be the third best player. Like, yeah. You know? So maybe that's like a chip on the shoulder thing. Polgs won a land, so this year he won against Jost, and obviously not as difficult as what he's going to go now, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I got a weird sense. Just like last year when I thought I had a weird sense about Gren, and I thought that he would win, because again, he would always have these really hard like meltdowns gameplay-wise in the finals of the GWC, and he beat Regs last year. I had a weird feeling the whole time. Something, I don't know. I'm probably wrong, but that's my hot take, is I think Polgs will actually beat Gren here, because I feel like everyone is assuming that Polgs is done.
You think so? Because he has so many people behind him this year, though.
Yeah, know. But like, sure, they're his boys, yeah. But I bet you any money if they had to bet. Like, if you, like, that's what I always say. It's like, who do you want and you expect to win, but who have you had to put $1,000 on, what you actually put your money on? It would not be Polgs, I don't think.
No, it wouldn't, especially with how, the thing that's weird, so like, this bracket, the way it's set up, all like the first three matches are great, and then you have like a weird one where it's like two people in the back one.
I will say, hang on, we're gonna get into that in a second, because I actually don't think it, I think it's go ahead.
Yeah, so I think well, we'll get to that one, right? We're about to get to that match.
All right, so the last one is Geimer versus Lebanese Man. Okay, now every year in GWC there is usually someone who is like the, you know, one of these is not like the others.
Yeah, you had like NJ Devils the one year, and like stuff like that.
Yeah, you had like the Drizzy, or like, you know, and they had Drewy, the OHL player in 2020. So no disrespect, he won. He came second in his console on Xbox, which was viewed as one of the easier ones. But nonetheless, he's still here. He had to win games.
I guess,
I'll say this: if you had to pick a guy that he had a shot against out of the other seven players,
it'd be who he's playing.
No disrespect to the Geimer, but it is definitely Geimer.
Yeah.
And, you know, Geimer's done a really good job, I think. Maybe it's just getting older. I remember I used to harp on him. I remember when he got, so what I just mentioned about Drewy, the OHL player, I remember Geimer messaging. He lost to Drewy, who was like just a hut hero. And Geimer was definitely the favorite. I remember messaging him and be like, dude, I feel bad. He's like, man, I just like, I was like shaking. I couldn't like, you know what I mean? And like, that's just nerves, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he doesn't feel it the same way anymore. But if you go into a matchup, and if you had to get to, if you got to this stage, you bet you beat a good player. You beat players that can get top 100 in hut champs. And in NHL, I have beaten like great players. Like, you know what I mean? Like I have, I just beat Aves. Like, I've done it multiple times this year. Who came third in PS5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, allegedly, I've beaten Geimer, right? Like, it's like, anyone can take a best two out of three, and all of Geimer's boys will be there. Like, they're all a big group. If there's pressure on anyone to not choke and lose a series that you're just gifted, it's this one. I think Geimer will win.
Dude, I think it's like a 55-45 chance because, like...
Really?
Dude, I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know how good Lebanese Man is because I've never watched him before. He's good enough to get top two on an easy console. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. He did what he had to do, right? Like, you know,
he did what he had to do, but, like, if it was the other way around, if it was, like, Geimer against Aves, you'd still probably say the same thing, like a 55-45
yeah.
towards Geimer.
I fed feel more confident in,
you
like...
Would a, because you know him, right? Because yeah. you know who the guy is.
That's true.
I don't think it's that bad of a landslide like people are saying. Geimer should win. I'm going to pick Geimer because I know who Geimer is. But I wouldn't be surprised if Lebanese Man wins. Because, like, I was watching the PS4 finals, and then Geimer lost to Uninstall, right?
Yep.
That was it. Like, I wasn't as impressed with Geimer as I was with, like, some of the other...
No, Geimer ended up beating Uninstall.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised. I remember... I forget. Okay, then clearly I watched the wrong thing.
Geimer.
I remember that now. Yeah. I don't know.
That one was huge too.
I wasn't as impressed with Geimer. And I mean, he's better than me this year, so take it with a grain of salt. But I'll go with Geimer, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lebanese wins.
That's why that huge matchup. Uninstall lost his console to Geimer, and now he had to play regs as opposed to taking on Lebanese Man.
And before we get into the next round of players, Uninstall is like the weirdest one to me in this group of players because I think he has the skill to be the best out of all of them, but something happens where he doesn't win. Like,
that's a lot with, like,
yeah, skill wise, Uninstall could be the best player out of all of those eight players, but it's just like he should have beat Geimer. He's a better player than Geimer, but you know, maybe it was just poor, you know, strategy choices or what.
No doubt. So we're on the same board here. I will take Polgs over Gren. I'm not confident, but I have a weird feeling. And you're gonna say, and we're taking Geimer over 11%. So the second round would be, if what we predict to be Sat versus Regs. Again, you can't. Okay, so here's the thing. I feel like two players that in almost entire gameplay is holding onto the puck, like, their best asset is not playing defense. It's holding onto the puck so that they don't have to play defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, time on attack is always high. Like, Regs is better than anyone at it. Yeah. To the point where he is so patient, it's frustrating to watch sometimes. You know?
It is. It's even more frustrating to play against.
I think that you have a chance if you are someone that's extremely good off scoring off the rush and things like that. But I don't know, man. I think they'll maybe be low scoring, but I think that Regs will probably win this one extremely easy.
I mean, I'm pulling for Sap all the way. I want him to win the tournament. I'm going with Regs. I think Sap has a better chance than a lot of people are predicting of him.
Yeah.
And
again, you get to this stage. If Sap beats Jose, take a game.
He's really damn good, you know? So exactly, like, I'm going with Regs because I think Regs is just the best player, like, ever in this game. Want to see Sap win, but I'm going with Riggs as well.
Okay. The other semifinal. This is the issue with... Okay. So, Geimer or Gren and Polgs play round one. The winner, it basically goes to the final.
Yeah, we would
assume. No matter what. Like, again, no disrespect to Geimer or Lebanese Man, but, like, you... If that was... If Polgs or Gren lose in that second round after beating each other, one or the other, right... That's probably the biggest upset in the maybe history of GWC at the LAN.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, maybe John Wayne over Ecky back in 2019, because no one expected that. Everyone just thought that Ecky was the best player ever. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, that would be probably the biggest upset. And so I will say Polgs or Gren. Like, I will, the other
one. Whoever, yeah, whoever, like, I have Gren, you have Polgs, they're going on to the finals.
So then we end up with Regs and Gren. Dude, Regs and Gren again. At what point does it become boring?
Dude, I mean...
Like, do you think it's good? Do you think it's good or bad for the game?
It's good in my opinion. I mean, I don't like seeing... Like, I'm a competitive person. I hate the fact that they're just that much better than me. And I think other people probably hate that too. it's good because it proves a skill gap, does it not? Like, if the same people are winning every single year.
If the same people keep doing it, yeah.
No matter what you say on Reddit or what you tweet that the game's random, if the same two people are winning every single year, then there's a proven skill gap.
Dude, do you realize that if this happens, if Gren and Regs go back to their... That is three straight years that they have been the North American final two.
I think if that happens, some people need to take a hard look in the mirror in Canada and get it together, you know? It's time
like,
to
I think Nuke probably had a shot, but, you know, life got in the way, and he moved on. I think Nuke at, like, his height was, like, different than everyone else.
He was, and
he played.
Dude, he played so different. It was crazy
to
watch.
So weird. Yeah. I will never forget. Here's a GWC story. I will never forget in 2019 being at Sportsnet, and they were like, there was warm-up consoles, and I was just chilling, and Nuke was like, hey, you want to, like, I got a warm-up, you want to play? I was like, sure. I remember playing around, Josh was kind of sitting beside me, and like, Josh Fearless, and I remember 5 seconds in, he scored that stupid low blocker Nuke shot, and I remember being like, wow, okay. He did it like three more times. I lost like 4 or 5-0, and like, I remember looking over Josh, I'm like, what is this? And he was like, dude, I don't... Yeah, you know, and then everyone started doing it. Yeah. The low blocker, like, just 7-hole kind of thing. Like, that became, like, a whole other... And Nuke ended up winning Canada that year.
He did.
To go to Vegas. He beat Gren. I mean, everyone left because that was after the Gren-Josh series, which felt like... That was, like, one of the best esports series ever.
That was one of my favorite ones, yeah.
That was so good. I just hope we get something like that. Like, that's my hope. I hope that there is not 2-0s. Like, if Geimer or Lebanese Man... goes to three games against Polgs or Gren, that I pray for that one, because like, dude, like, the it'd be like the same thing as Geimer and Lebanese Man in the first round, because just you can't choke that. You're never gonna get an easier run to the finals, right? And that's like, dude, at that point, that's like a $10,000 game.
I know, dude. I mean, that's great for Geimer though, right? Because when you think about it from Geimer's point of view, he has to just like assume he's gonna win that first round and play his best, but like, all he needs is one upset against Polgs or Gren, mm-hmm. and he's in the finals of GWC.
He's in the finals, yeah. Like, that's... And then the other one, like... Man, Sap, Jost, Regs, and Uninstall is a great Final Four.
It
like
really
those,
is.
That's a... You know what I mean? There's no weak links there. So I could see a number of things coming up. I think if Regs doesn't make the finals, that's huge. That's a big upset.
I know, but it's such a hard... Dude, it's such a hard bracket.
It is. Like, any of them can win a best of three. Mm-hmm. The hard part is that, like... None of them are experienced on LAN or at this like stage.
I mean, I
and
will
that,
say
that
I
is a factor. Like
any of those four from the top bracket, like I told you, who I think is going to win, I wouldn't be like shocked if it's like Jost or
yeah.
That win the thing, you know.
Like Geimer and Lebanese Man are probably the only two where I would be like if they made the finals, even like you know what I mean. I'd be like, what in the world, right? But maybe, you know, I mean, we're not giving Geimer enough credit.
I mean, that's good for him, too. It's, like, less pressure once he gets over that first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, again, when you're assumed to be the victor, it doesn't mean, like, that's not an easy thing to deal with sometimes. Because if you get down in a game or you lose game one, it's like, man. Oh, dude. But it's going to be fun. So who do you think wins?
So I am, surprisingly, my bracket, it's Gren against Regs. I'm going to go Gren over Regs this year, I think, which is weird because I've been saying Regs is the best player. Watching that series that they had, I think it was last week, that first one to decide who would be on the winner's bracket, I thought Gren was better for 2 out of 3 games. He had that comeback, and then game three, like, he should have won by 2 to 3 goals, I thought, over Regs. So I'm going based on that, but, dude, it's like a toss-up.
If Regs... Okay, so if Regs plays Polgs in my bracket, I think Regs beats Polgs. If Regs plays Gren, I think Gren wins. I've seen them play on LAN a couple times. Montreal before COVID was the last one. And it's like, same thing about Gren in the GWC. If he doesn't make it to the finals or he has a hard time off of like when the lights are on, right? Because that's usually when he would lose. Like that's, it's the exact same thing on LAN with like Regs and Gren. It's like, I don't know. Part of me, dude, it's like, three straight years of the same two kids. I don't know what to say at that point. the game changes, yes, and sometimes drastically. But something that these kids have is just like, I don't know, man. Like, I have no answer for it. It's vision and instinct. And you can't, and the thing is, you can't teach instinct, you know? Just like any other video game or sport. Like, there's, like, skill and talent can help prepare, but there's, at a certain point, people are just more talented at certain things because of instinct, and, like, that can't be taught, so.
Dude, I mean, this is, like, a crackpot theory here. You think they know anything that a lot of people don't? So I'm going to bring up a couple things, by the way, here.
Okay.
Gren with the Y button. So I'm going to say this thing. You ever watch, if you watch the games, he gets like a little bit of like acceleration sometimes, like immediately. I think it's him tapping the Y button, or I guess it'd be triangle on PlayStation. And I think it does something. So if people are listening and test it out, I think that does something. Regs knows something about the puck possession and like puck protection. Like he gets every single loose puck in situations where I don't think he should.
There is something Regs does really good that I paid attention to in the last one, and it's he closes the gap of the player. So when he has the puck, he closes the gap of the person trying to defend him. So what I mean by that is, like, he tries to make it where his back or his side is as close as possible to the defender, so the defender is bumping and he can't get a hit. So when he starts backing in, because if you hold L2 and you back in and you get bumped, you lose the puck. Like, you get that, you automatically trigger the stumble animation. But if you are already too close for them to get an actual hit, like, you'll hold on to the puck. And I've noticed it a lot. And same with, I actually want to say it was Geimer was the other one where I really noticed it, where it was, like, on purpose trying to get it where they, like, roll off of their opponent. But there's something. The other thing that Regs does is he doesn't talk about it, but like his knowledge of the strategies that are in the game are wild. I remember I did a video with him like 2 years ago, and he broke down like a play. Broke down a play of his, and he would get like behind the net guys to go and do stuff when you would not anticipate to set up a play. And it would be like he'd cross the line, and he would immediately be like, my opponent on the far side as a defender that's right-handed. My winger on the far side is left-handed, so I know that it's nuts what he's doing. I kind of hope it's those two.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind a new, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it'd just be fun. But next year, rumors are it's back to Worlds, and they want to go to Vegas. I know that. And I think that going to 2019's GWC was one of the best things, like trips and experience I've had as an NHL creator, and I wasn't even a part of it. So I hope that's the case. I'm excited for Montreal. I'm excited that it's tied to the draft. So I'm taking my old man to this. He has always wanted to come to an event with me. So I thought, why not? Like the biggest one I'll probably ever do. So he's we're taking a train there, and he's gonna come and hang out with me all week, and. I'm gonna cast the events and whatnot, so that'll be fun. I'm gonna vlog it and see how it goes.
How cool of you!
Yeah, dude, gotta vlog it, bro.
Yeah. So wait, that rumor is like back to so it'd be like USA, Canada.
They want to, right? Like I can confirm, right? Like I know that they want to go back to Worlds, and they want to this year. This is not confirmed or anything. This is just my own speculation. It feels like a very pivotal year for the GWC. So I think that they are... COVID and EA Sports specifically really did a number on this tournament because COVID crushed the in-person thing, and the in-person aspect of the GWC was really like its draw, like its allure, and what made it feel really big. And there's also sponsor money that was that with a live event. So the prize pool came down because it was all online. Then this year they finally like, okay, we can get back to in person, and it's like, here's four consoles. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like they can't get any help. Like, and it's not outside of their own doing, but I think this year they are going to put not more resources into it, but targeted strategic resources, meaning like a game plan. September, October, you know what's happening. Maybe
that's what I've wanted to always see is the day the game comes out, there's a tweet from like NHL or NHLPR where it's like, this is our roadmap for this upcoming competitive year.
So I got to hang out with a couple of people that are going to be running the GWC. And great. First of all, Kevin NHL. That's what I call him, Kevin NHL. If he's listening, I know he started listening to us. Shout out to Kevin. He is going to do a great job with GWC, and I'm going to try if he wants any feedback from me. I'm going to try. That was the one thing I had mentioned, is like, it needs to be clarity on, like, you know, from the start, like where and when and all of that. But I know that they're going to try and look at a updated format and things like that, which is good. You know, it's going to evolve and hopefully it can become the best it can possibly be. But this year, obviously with the COVID stuff being in and out, they couldn't do Worlds with 100%. So, but nonetheless, next year I am excited for. So Regs and Grime, man, if that happens, good Lord. Man, I just want chaos. Imagine Uninstall beats Regs.
I mean, it would be nice to see. If Uninstall
beats Regs, is there any option, like, does Gren or Polgs win then?
No, I'm not, I don't think that's guaranteed. I think, because, dude, I mean, you got Jost there that's, like, really good. And the only reason I underrate him is because I've never played against him and even, like, really watched him play. Mm-hmm. And then you got Sap there too, who's like a defensive stalwart, I guess, right? Like, he's just a very smart.
He plays
player.
A lot like John Wayne. Like John plays really slow, and like, you never anticipate because it's not flashy.
Yeah,
but like, he just like wins. Like, he just, you know.
Yeah, so it's like any of those four. Like, Regs is the favorite out of those four, but outside of that, it's still like just a slight favorite, I think. I want to see if it was like pure chaos for me. It's Geimer. Actually, no, it's Lebanese man again. But I don't.
Lebanese man, it's, dude. It's he could cause some
Sap in the finals.
Yeah, that would be that'd be pretty crazy, man. It would be nice for. There's a couple of nice stories. I know Polgs has his mom there. She is a, I believe, a cancer survivor. You know that. So he's bringing her, which would be a great story. Sap obviously has a great story as well. But all these guys, man, like. I'm excited to meet Lebanese man. I'm excited to meet guys I've never met before. Everyone else I've met, I believe, in other than Sap, I guess I've met in person. So even Uninstall, I got to meet in Tampa. So
yeah,
excited to see how it goes. And I'm excited to be there. I am excited for an in-person event. All right. So let's move on. Let's talk briefly, because again, I get these questions a lot. At 99 Hut, now that we've seen the entire year of X Factors, didn't like a lot of it, not gonna lie. It was thrown in because they needed to add something to the back of the box, and there it is. So, what if you had to, you had three X Factors you had to choose to give yourself a shot to win? What one are you picking?
Unstoppable Force, I think, is one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Going that one, I saw Regs using Elite Edges in the console qualifiers.
That was more, I think, because that was one of his only players that had it.
Okay.
So you would activate it, but I personally think X Factor is. Keep going.
What's the defense one? Stick 'em up, I would go. I think stick 'em up or truculence, and I think those would be like my three. I don't really think there's too many outside of that do much.
Okay, I missed that. Last
okay,
one.
Yeah, you missed it. So like, yeah, no, I'd like truculence on there. I think is really good.
Yep.
Stick 'em up, I think, at 4 points is really good. Oh, and then I'm forgetting the best one, which was the 1T. Gold 1T.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about that. So I think gold 1T, it's expensive. It's 8, right? I think gold 1T on defensemen is one of the best.
Yeah.
I think on forwards, it's too situational, because I don't think you're going to get a lot of one-timers with that specific player that many times in a game. Not that it isn't great, but like, let's pretend like, you know, you have lots of other options, right? A left-handed defenseman with gold 1T, I think, is like one of the best X-factor abilities you can have.
Yeah, for sure.
I think truculence, I think people get locked. I saw some comments when I was talking about truculence. People aren't understanding the real benefit of truculence. It's not like the arcade level of hits. It's the boost you get when you bump players. That's huge. Like, that's what that triggers the stumble animation. So if you have that on a defenseman or a forward, like, you're gonna bump like Eric Lindros off the puck. Like, that's the benefit of truculence. Like, it's not the huge hits, because sometimes that can give you like penalties. But it's the ability that no matter what, you're gonna bump guys off the puck. Truculence, in my opinion, is. I think it's funny you mentioned ones that were all you can't like quantify them. So what I mean by that is, like, well, 1T you can hear and see it. Shock and awe you can, but like it's not, it's too situational. Like it looks like a little laser beam. But unstoppable force, there's no way to be like, that's unstoppable force working. But you know, like, you know what I mean? Like you will. Close quarters is one that if you watch replays, it's like the guy's stick will be behind his back and he'll get a full power shot.
Yeah, and it'll be perfect location where it goes and stuff.
Some people are like, close quarters doesn't do anything. I saw some comments on my YouTube channel, and I'm just like, you're not, yeah, if you watch a replay on a goal, you score with someone that's close quarters around the net, it's like, sometimes it'll be like, my guy will be on the backhand just picking up, the puck will be like sideways, like flipped up in the air, and it's like, bang, like top corner.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason all those top sixes guys use it, right?
Yeah, sixes guys also use it. Yeah. Schnipe is one I don't ever notice.
No, I thought that one was terrible this year. I have to warn you, though, I haven't played like any real like 99 Hut since I think GWC, so that's 2 months ago.
No, I feel you. Schnipe is one that there's no way to quantify it, but wheels I think at this stage is also good because everyone's at 99. You get 99. The only way to have true 99 speed with the puck is that.
Yeah, but you're still against 99 defensemen though.
I guess that's true.
Like I wouldn't use that one because that's what, 10 points?
I think it's just benefit. Like it's, I'd rather have that than anything with Schnipe.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that in that aspect, but I just wanted to bring that up real quick. I think next year, I don't know, like they can't get away from X Factors now.
No, they're just threw
it
in,
and it dramatically changed how Hutt is. Like it did, and not for the better. I think post to post is still
It
matters less now because everyone is 99 shot. So even with post-to-post, you're probably going to score on 1T. I think people don't understand that.
Oh, is that how it's been
recently? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? You need it seems like it isn't as overpowered. But early on in the game, bro, when the shots are like 90 or high 80s, like it's...
I hope they fix some of the goalie ones. I don't even know how you have goalie X-Factors in the game without kind of ruining it. Because, like, I thought Lightwork, like, that's the one I used in GWC, like, qualifiers. I thought that one was overpowered. I wish it's too late to remove X Factors. They're here to stay.
I hope that the X Factor cards have more value. Looking back now, it's like what worked and what didn't work in NHL 22. Icons and X Factors.
Yeah,
like the changes were great, like in prior years. But at the end of the year, if they're not cards you want or you sought after, what's the point?
Yeah, they need to be able to be upgraded by using them, like the X-Factor cards, maybe less of them. Because, like, I remember whenever me and you got the game, right, there was that McDavid out that I bought for $200,000, and then people were buying for $2 million. And then at first, everybody was buying.
I packed them, and I didn't realize it. Yeah, I didn't realize what I had packed.
So, like, people were paying these outrageous prices, and then they realized, like, oh, it's going to cost me 3 million coins to get them to 99.
I don't even think that's that bad. Because you have a card your whole, like, what's the word I'm looking for here?
It is comfort.
Yeah, like, the comfort in knowing that you are always going to have the ability to have one of the best cards in the game. But on top of that, there's events sometimes where you don't want anyone. And it's like, okay, I could just use my cards to get power-up collectibles to upgrade my McDavid. Like, yeah. I think it's time. But that's McDavid. And he had wheels, which was, like, phenomenal. And I think he might have had Ensemble. Actually, no, his team of the year got it. But I think if X Factors are going to be in the game, they have to be the best cards.
You would always have to have them plus one over whatever the highest
I don't think they have it in them to do tier based objective based upgrading. I wish. I don't know if we'll ever see the individual card being like score 400 goals with this card and you get, you know, you upgrade it. But the thing I've been saying a long time for this is we have customizable synergies on our X Factors, customizable abilities. The issue that we ran into this year with a lot of the X Factors, Austin Matthews is a perfect example. Austin Matthews' X Factor, it's a great card. He's 6'3", whatever, right? You have multiple synergies and whatnot. Shock and Awe is not worth upgrading 4 million coins into. It's not. Yeah. Like it's just not. So my thought process has been if a prime time or something comes out, and the prime times were pretty fun because they were like if he scored a spinorama, he got gold spinorama. If those come out, the X Factor unlocks the ability to change that. So you can have, instead of having Shock and Awe, you can have spinorama or you know, for example, like maybe he scores a goal holding somebody off. That's like big rig or unstoppable force, right? Like that's what I think we need to see, you know, going forward to be able to choose what X factor is. Because if they just stick it, it sucks because it'd be like, whatever is like, there's going to be cards that have no use right out of the gate. And you know it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be really funny if 23 comes out and those players have the same exact abilities and the same exact gold and silver slots. Like if Matthews comes out in 23 and he has the gold Shock and Awe and you can't switch in anything else.
It's not out of the realm possible because they don't change ratings.
Yeah, like, we know that.
Very rarely they change ratings. I hope they bring down. See, that being said, there's 50 X factors. I would love to see 20. Like, we're talking trophy winners at every position only. Like, or like, you know, in the realm of that, right?
Yeah, and like, not, you don't have to, you don't need one on each team. You know, like the Kraken aren't going to have an X factor player.
Mm-mm. You're right. I think that's important. I think any of the fringe ones, like, I don't want to say Gensel. He's one I always think about, but like Pavelski.
No, but even though, like, dude, I'm the biggest Penguins fan, right? Gensel was an X-Factor
Gensel would not
player.
Be, yeah, exactly.
He's a 40-goal scorer. He's a great player in the NHL. Like, is he an X-Factor mm-hmm. player? Probably not.
Yeah. I hope that, yeah, they dial it back a little bit. And then maybe make them harder to get. Like, maybe you can't make them, or it takes a significant amount to make them.
Yeah, when you have them, they're amazing cards. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg to upgrade them, but they're hard to get.
All right, so let's talk about this a little bit. Again, I might have mentioned this in the last podcast. They kind of blend together. I apologize.
Oh, don't Boys. They?
Yeah, they do. They just kind of blend together. The whole year just blends together.
Yeah.
All right, so I did something last week when Lindros came out. I came downstairs, and I was like, oh, I want to make a Lindros, then use him in Hut Champs. Dude, I was like, I wonder how long this takes. 19 minutes. It took me to make all of the sets to get enough collectibles to go from making the card to 99. And a couple things. One, we're at 99, so like at the beginning of the year, this is a kind of a moot point because you just make it. Maybe you can go up like 2 or 3 overalls, so it's much faster. But dude, this system, it's so ugly and dude, it's like a lot of the gameplay. It's like clunky. Like it's like, why is there 17, it's not the Hut content team. That's the only vehicle they have to get what we have.
And it's better than what we had, right?
It is much better than what we had. So, like, it's just, it's so frustrating in that sense. I thought long and hard, because I play Madden every year when Madden comes out, and they have, like, 15 currencies. And
it's too dumb. Confusing.
EA loves its currency. They love, like, currencies. Whereas MLB, it's just coins. Like, that's it. If you spend money, you get stubs. You don't get points or whatever that you can buy packs with. You literally get stubs that you can literally go and buy a card with on the auction house, right? So I don't think EA is ever going to go to that. But, man, I don't know. I would love to hear the argument from a developer where they're like, that can't work or that isn't a good option. Where if we had a card, let's say it's 85 overall and 185 gives us 3 collectibles or whatever, right? You burn that, if you go, like, you click on the card, and it's like, apply consumable, you know, substitute, quick sell, whatever, and there's one that says breakdown. And if you break down that card, you get X amount of currency for breaking down that card. Now, a new master set comes out. It's like, okay, here's the master set, and you're like, bang, here's all the currency.
Yeah. Like, so you just go into your collection, then, maybe multi-select, like, 20 different cards, right? Some of them will be 92s, some of them might be 83s. And then you do...
Yes, exactly. It doesn't matter. Here's the X amount. Here's all of the, you know, the currency that you can get because it's all going to be static. Yeah. That's just such a huge quality of life thing because all of this, like, event collectibles and all these I'm so sick of the word collectible.
Hey, gold collectibles.
Because they are not collectibles. You do not collect them.
Yeah, you get collect them to spend. Burn them. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, like, it's just, it's so annoying. Like, we've had it since, like, NHL 18 or 17. Like, it's enough. Like, innovate, you know?
Yeah. And I just don't see how... because it's like they have to make the game on the code that they have. It's like
exactly.
It's like having, like, a 2002 Chevy Cavalier and you want to put, like, a Cole spoiler on it, you know? Like, you can do that. It's going to look like shit
still. I've done it. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's just really frustrating in that sense.
Like, as long as they would figure out something like what you just said, not like the Madden stuff where there's 3 or 4 different currencies that you're actively using. Because, like, I loved Madden before. I loved, like, the NHL game. And, Every single year I try to get into Madden Ultimate Team, and it's way too confusing.
Or I'm an idiot,
but like there's just too much stuff going on. I got into MLB this year, it was easy. Madden, there's like 20 different things.
It is awfully tough, no doubt. All right.
Dude, well, yeah. Dog days of summer. That's what we're in right now for NHL.
Dog days of summer. Dude, okay. This one is for the fellas listening. I went to a concert last night, and Kesso goes, I go, sorry, I can't. I'm at Billy Talent. And he's like, who? And I'm like, I'm at Billy Talent, like the band. And he's like, I had to Google who they were.
Yeah.
And, bruh, I thought you were pretty well versed in your musical, like, you know, I didn't think we've had a talk about our favorite bands and like that. You were pretty well versed. Maybe I get because they're Canadian. Every Canadian knows Billy Talent, but bro, I feel they are worldwide. Like,
I mean, maybe,
and you're your age too. Like, that's what's mind boggling.
Yeah, dude, maybe. So what are they? They're like pop punk.
Yeah, like Sum 41.
What year were they like big in?
2000 and, well, NHL 06. Red Flag is literally NHL 06.
Okay, I didn't play that one.
I would say 2005 to 2015 was like their, like, they, every album they put out, they had an absolute banger that was like chart topper.
All right, yeah. Like, so, like, from the rain, I got out of like pop punk and like that stuff probably around that time. Like,
I don't know how you'd miss them. Like, I feel like it'd be hard to miss Billy Talent.
Dude, I feel like it's just like maybe they're big in Canada.
Maybe.
And like it's just like a national pastime for you guys.
Do you know who Alexis on Fire is?
I've heard. Yeah, I know of that band.
That's wild. So they opened like that because like they're from St. Catharines. They're from the city I'm in. That's why they put on like this huge concert and they broke up. 2000 and I wasn't a big Alexis fan, but like I have friends that are like diehards, and they went to like their farewell tour, and they broke up for like a decade or like 9 years, I think, and this was like their first time back, and like it was really cool, like to see like that, you know, because again it was the city, dude. The amount of, so I go to this place, it's like 6 minutes from my house. We walk, and I'm looking around at like just like the people there, right? Yeah, it was. I felt so at home. It was like, dude, it was 30 to 40. Everyone was pretty well dressed for the, like, you're talking like mosh pit kind of like level of like music, right? Which there was, but like, it was just so funny. Like, everyone was like around my age. Like, I was just like, I felt like I was 15 again.
Dude,
like,
that's awesome. Yeah. I felt the same way whenever we went to see like Green Day, Fall Out Boy, and Weezer did a tour like last year. We went to that, and it's like all the people our age that grew up with the music. And then, but dude, I have to tell you, I never felt more out of place at a concert, okay? About 3 years ago, I was a big Travis Scott fan. And like, me and my friends.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I love rap music, right? And his, like, you know, first few albums, they were like not like as poppy, I guess. It was like hood rap or whatever, you know? But like, we go to this concert, and I was like 26, I guess. We're like the oldest people there. It's all like 15-year-olds that are like Astro World Tour, you know? Like, it was, I was like, never again. I'm never going to one of these again. I'm way too old.
Jesus. All right. But yeah, I had to bring that up. All right, let's do this. Our top five favorite athletes. Doesn't have to be from your favorite team. I want to make this like, you would stop the channel when like you had, like when they were on.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
All right. Dude, it's hard not to have your like hometown like favorite athlete.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that's who you enjoyed watching, yeah.
All right. I'm going immediately Antonio Brown. Besides all the off-field stuff, I think if he would have had like his mental health right, he's a top 3, maybe top 2 receiver of all time. That's not Jerry Rice. Like, he was without a doubt the best receiver in the NFL for 5 or 6 straight years. And he was like, he's only 5'10". Like, he was doing all this stuff in the league, and it was just like straight skill. He made being a Steelers fan like just so much fun for like those 8 years or however long he was on the team.
I'm trying to think of not going way off the cuff because now I'm like really trying to think of like player, but because we're gonna end up, I know what we're gonna be doing. We're gonna end up picking favorite team, which is fine. I'm gonna go with I will go with Joe Thornton at number 5. I remember watching This is like early NHL TV. Like, I could only watch the Sharks if I was at my mom's house for the weekend in Buffalo because they had DirecTV. I couldn't watch the Sharks. I remember having to listen to Dan Rusinowski on NHL.com's radio thing because it was free. I would listen to the radio call of the Sharks games at my dad's when I was at home in Canada because there was literally no way to watch out-of-market games.
Yeah.
Unless you had DirecTV, and DirecTV wasn't in Canada. But I feel like there's so many kids that will never understand. That was probably the best passer. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, right now who would be the best passer in the NHL. But, like, it's like McDavid is, like, you know, whatever.
He's, like, the best at everything.
But this is what we were watching with, like, Thornton with, like, having Chichu score 56 goals because of Joe Thornton was just something absurd. Like, I remember watching, and, like, when you're watching a play, like a power play or something, and a player does, you can see what's open, and, like, the player can't, right? He would do some shit where he would hold the puck in the slot, and literally everyone is, like, shoot, but he would just hold it for a pass, and everyone would still be like, hey, he's going to pass, and still somehow find a seam. Like, it was just wild to watch, and it's sad that, like, I was too young to, well, not too young, but, like, I was a teenager in, like, 20 and didn't appreciate it as much as I do now, knowing that he, like, there won't be a better Shark probably ever than him.
Dude, my favorite thing about Thornton is some of the weird stat lines he has, because I think it was one of the, it might have been, like, a lockout year, like, where they did, like, a shortened season. I want to say he had, like, 4 or 5 goals and, like, 50-some assists or something. Like, it was always weird things where you get, like, 20 goals, yep, like, 70 assists. Like, because he wouldn't shoot sometimes.
His heart. Dude, I remember watching it being so frustrated with it. Like, as he became a Shark longer. When he was a Bruin, he still had, like, 30-goal seasons.
Yeah.
But, like, and even his Hart Trophy winning season, he had, like, 126 points.
Yeah, because he had, like, one or two more than Jágr.
Yeah, but I don't think he had more than 30 goals. Like, I think it was, like, that wild. Like, it was something insane. But, yeah, just he was so good at passing. Like, and I feel like that's, like, there isn't a premier setup man in the NHL now.
No, because, like, so I don't many think people there's someone so
that
is
only good at that, like, only exceptionally good at that.
Yeah, it's like almost like that Adam Oates type from the 90s where they'd have, like, a bajillion assists, you know? Like, because, like, I think Crosby's probably as good at passing as Thornton is, but it's like he's good at everything, you know?
I don't think so.
You might, okay. I mean,
I think legitimately Thornton might be the best passer of all time.
He might be.
Debate in the comments. I'm saying, like just that.
Yeah,
like,
just playmaking.
Like, not a better player, yeah. like that portion.
Yeah. My right, next one, I'm going to go with who I think is the greatest goalie of all time, and that's Dominik Hasek. Okay. Dude, we were lucky. We grew up in, like, what I think, at least for us, because, like, best our age. Like, that golden era of hockey for me, which was, like, that early 2000s, like, where there were, like, 4 or 5, like, really good teams. I think Hasek's the best goalie ever. You look at his stats from, like, the 90s, and he was putting up, like, 937,
Buffalo,
like, save
was
percentage.
Awful.
What's that?
Buffalo was not good. Like, their good, like their was, team was never good.
No, like, Mike Pekka was their best player, you know? Or, like, Miroslav Satan or something, you know? That might have been after.
Miroslav Satan.
Yeah, like, I think if he was on, like, those Avs teams like Wah was, or if, like, he was on the Devils, like, he'd probably, like, it wouldn't even be a debate. But he was on those bad Sabres teams.
Man, Dominik Hasek is a good one. That was a really good one. I am going to go with Tiger Woods. I was really into golf when I was a kid before I got run over, and then I literally didn't play for, like, the next 15 years. But there's, like, golf, I can't watch golf. Like, I don't enjoy watching it. But there's something about, like, his, like, when, like, he's playing golf, it was so wild. Dude, remember that? I remember that shot, like, the commercial shot. I remember watching that. I want to say it was at the Masters in, like, 2004. Again, I'm trying to think of it off the top of my head. But the Nike ball, like, stops on the pin and then drops in. Like, the best commercial from Nike of all time. It was wild to watch a sport that's so science-based. Like, you know? Like, and it's someone be able to be that good at it. Better than everyone. Like, because, like, when there's, like, numbers and mechanics involved like that, it's not like someone's trying to throw you a 100-mile-an-hour pitch that isn't the same time every time. Same thing every time, right? It's like this, you have everyone has the exact same advantages in golf. To an extent.
It's literally, like, you know, just as, like, a solo sport, you know? Like, there's
exactly
a clear best player. It's not like a team sport where, you know, there's always debate.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
It's boring. It's a boring pick, Sidney Crosby. He was drafted, what year? 2005. So I was, like, I was 11 or 12, so I've watched his whole career. I have a piece of shit on my list in Antonio Brown, but like I always like whenever the athletes are actually like good people in the community and stuff too.
Yeah.
Crosby, I mean, he's a top, arguably a top five player of all time, but like growing up here watching probably, you know, 80% of the games that he's ever played. The guy, dude, he every single night, you know, he's always trying his hardest. So Sidney Crosby, boring homer pick.
Okay, the next one is for me, it will be David Ortiz. I think that, again, I don't think people got to appreciate... If you're not a Red Sox fan, I feel like you didn't... baseball is the... I think baseball has the best playoffs. And the reason why I think that is that the entire series and dynamic can change in every single pitch. So if it's like 0-0, very close game... Like, how a pitcher or a hitter battles nerves is, like, one of the most, like, fascinating things to me. I think that the NHL, by the way, before everyone freaks out, I think the NHL has the best first round of the playoffs, but I think as it goes along, it isn't, I don't want to say as exciting, because this year was pretty exciting all the way through, but it loses a little bit of its allure, and I think it's because teams are just beaten up. They're a little bit safer. They don't go end-to-end. They're not fighting, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's fighting each other, I mean, usually. Like, in the first round... everyone's got the most amount of energy and, you know, like amped up as they're going to have at the beginning. And then it's a war going through. Right. But that being said, in baseball, it's like every pitch and David Ortiz, like the amount of like, he was like one of the best home run hitters, but like how a man is able to have ice in his veins to hit the clutch home runs and hits that he is able to do in a sport where batting 300, or like, you know, I mean, 30% is incredible. To do that is like absurd for the entirety of his career, essentially.
Yeah. When did he retire?
2019, 2018 or nine. I went to Fenway the last season. I have his hat from Fenway. I want to say it was 2018, 19 was his last season. Something he was just incredible, man. It was wild because it was like as long as you get Ortiz up, you have a shot.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that he would hit a home run and things like I'll never forget like 2013 ALCS against the Tigers and he hit that grand slam in the seventh or eighth to tie it over the and Torrey Hunter goes diving over the Fenway Park like the low outfield bullpen fence like it's just. I don't understand. I'll never understand that. Like that's something that's fascinating to me. So,
my next one, more homer picks here. I'm going Troy Polamalu for the Steelers. Dude, he was the most exciting safety, you know, to watch at that time. I think Ed Reed was a little bit better, but seeing Polamalu with the you know that long hair on the Steelers for that defense that was so good for so long. Did you ever listen to the Pat McAfee Troy Polamalu story?
No.
I'll have to send you that after. It's hilarious.
Okay.
But it's like a classic one on the internet.
Dude, there's so many Pats. Like, I would love, like, dude, I loved Ty Law. I love, like, there's, like, Willie McGinnis.
Dude, and, Vince like, Wilfork, Vrabel. Man.
Wilfork, dude, like, there's a lot. He might be my number. He is. Okay, yeah. So number two would be Patrick Marleau. Again, he made me really like hockey. I think that... he wasn't a great captain because he's so soft-spoken, but he would score. He was almost like a point-per-game player in the playoff. Like, or not a point-per-game player. He was his production never dropped, but he always got shit on from the outside for not like performing well. It was like always his fault.
Yeah.
But his production never dropped. He was really good in the playoffs, and it was just like his team could never get over it. So fast, and yeah, like his goal-scoring ability was just so good. I don't know. He was like... him and Aginla were like the reason, like some of the big reasons why I liked hockey so much. And, you know, it sucks that, he's over with now or he's retired now, but, definitely one of my favorite players to watch.
Yeah. We got to, enjoy him a little bit on the Penguins for that one playoff run.
I hate that.
Isn't that so weird? Cause like you said, Aginla, I'm like, oh yeah, the Penguins had him too for like,
I hate legends that leave a team. I get it. Like to try and win a cup. I would love to see the, like Sundin was a Vancouver Canuck.
Yeah.
I get it. You're trying to win a cup, but it's like, how many times has that happened, do you think? Ray Bourque.
The big one, right? So, like, whenever there's, like, legends like that, you like, sometimes it doesn't work out. But, I mean, it happens every year with, like, good players.
Thornton just did it.
What's that?
Thornton just did it with the Panthers.
Yeah.
Trying to win a cup.
Hey, Jack Johnson did it with the, I'm just kidding.
Jack Johnson. I can't wait to get his cup. Do you see that tweet? That was a good tweet.
I saw that. That was a good one. You know, yeah. I think that's the big, that's the important thing about you for being a, if you're a content creator in NHL, whatever's happening in real life, think of a stupid tweet to cater it around NHL Hut and boom, you get like, you know, 50 likes.
That's it, man.
My last one, my favorite player growing up was Jaromir Jagr. He was like, dude, for a while, once Lemieux retired, he was like the Penguin, you know, like he was the only reason they were doing anything. And so like the first time I went to a hockey game, like he was playing, you know, so like I got to watch him for a few years, see him get traded to the Capitals, you know, and then on to the Rangers. And then dude, he's playing at like, what, 43 in the NHL, 42? He's still technically playing.
He owns a team. And he's
Yeah, he's just a legend. He was so good, you know, so Jagr.
My number one is Tom Brady. I don't think we'll ever see, like, again, I got to watch like every week in all of his Super Bowl runs. It was like, I just watched his documentary too, which was for Patriots fans like so much fun to like. The documentary is really good.
Yeah, is that the one where it's like the episodes for each Super Bowl?
Yep, for each Super Bowl and it brings back people.
I gotta watch that.
And there's like things that when I was a kid in the first three. That like I didn't really when you're a kid and you live in Canada for the most part, you don't really understand football, like, because A, if you play football, you're playing CFL rules, and CFL rules are awful in my opinion, so like it's very hard to understand the minutia of football. It's very difficult, so I didn't appreciate, like, I'm not super knowledgeable in football right now, like I like zone defenses and things like that. I can understand the basics of it, but like, I don't know, like, you know, like the ins and outs of like when they do crazy different routes and stuff, but I have a different level of understanding now, and watching like his documentary and what happened, I've completely forgot like the Lawyer Malloy sequence of events, because there's like a gap where Lawyer Malloy was on the Bills and I lived in Buffalo at the time. And I, like, didn't piece together, like, I don't remember it happening the way it did, dude. He literally left in camp, left the Patriots after winning the Super Bowl, and was like, I'm going to go to the Bills. Like, he's like, I'm out, because they signed Rodney Harrison. And he did it in gel, like, Lawyer Malloy in gel, and he was, like, Tom's, like, best friend, like, on the team. Yeah. And he, like, literally left, signed with the Bills, and the Bills pumped the Patriots in the first week of the season.
31-0, right?
Yeah.
Drew Bledsoe was playing. I remember that.
Dude, Bledsoe was playing. Like, it was wild. I don't remember that. So seeing that kind of stuff. Like, I remember the Ty Law game where he legit owned Peyton Manning in the playoffs.
Yeah, he had like three interceptions.
Like, four times. Like, it was absurd. But I don't think, I think Tom Brady in our lifetime will probably be the best athlete. Yeah. I'm going to say athlete's probably not the right word.
Most successful.
Yeah.
Because it's like, no matter what, I don't think you'll see another quarterback win like seven Super Bowls, right?
I think it's one of the only, I mean, like, you could see it in the NBA.
You can, like, if they form, like, if like a young team would form like a super team and actually stick together.
Yeah, like, I feel like the Golden State winning it this year again has like a shot if they stay together a couple more years.
Yeah.
But I think they've, won four?
They've won four.
And, you know, I mean, even MJ won six. And, like, Tom's won his seventh. Like, he's won seven. And I can't believe he won with the Buccaneers.
And you're not going to see anything like that in hockey. You just won't.
Never. No, it's because the salary cap's too tight. Yeah. Like, yeah. And not to mention the way the game is played. The amount of luck required in hockey compared to all the other sports is, like, exceptional. Like, game to game. You know what I mean? Because overtime, off of a, you know, stanchion into the net, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, you saw it this playoffs with, like, random
the subjective of calls.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, the other sports have that, obviously. Like, pass interference always ruins games in the NFL. But, like, basketball, it's like, yeah, I just, like, you won't see stuff like that is on that same level. Like, a shot's either going to go in or it's not. And, like, that's usually on the player.
Yeah, basketball.
You know, it's not hitting a fan and then going in the net. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you either missed it, you didn't.
Yeah, it's the least, like, luck-involved sport there is besides, like, individuals.
Yeah, like football, like the Edelman catch in the Falcons. The Falcons Super Bowl, like, man. So I was rewatching this again. We're on a little Tom Brady tangent. I apologize for anyone that hates the Patriots, dude. Like, they should have won both of the Giants Super Bowls, and I I hate the Giants, obviously, because it, like, tarnished, like, the Patriots, like, perfect. The perfect season we will never see. Like, we won't, dude. And it's funny, I was talking to my wife about this. I was like, if I ever get asked, like, what would you do if you go back in time? I always say I would go back to 2007 or 8. I can't remember because it's opposite year. I think it's 2008. And be like, yo, Dad, I want you to refinance the mortgage and bet on the Giants money line. Because, dude, I think the spread was like minus 12.5 in a Super Bowl. Like, it wasn't like that's – and the David Tyree catch – like, yeah. I guess there's no luck in football. He did that. Dude, but
and
like,
then they had the same one in 2011 with, I think,
Mario Manningham. Like, it was, I'm watching them again. Like, I forgot about the Mario Manningham one. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, dude, the Seahawks, I will never forget. That was the first year I was with my wife. Like, I remember watching all of the Giants ones. I remember going to Super Bowl parties for the Rams Super Bowl, but I was too young to appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I like the Patriots because of their logo when I was like 8 years old and I just got lucky.
Yeah.
And I like Drew Bledsoe and all the Madden games really early on. But like, that's all it was. I was literally lucky. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it goes. But dude, the comeback against Atlanta, what's more insane is that Tom Brady brought his mom, who had cancer and was like stage 4 in her last like stage of it, brought her to the game. And I'm just like, they're like, that episode has like his three sisters telling it. And it's like, dude, I can't believe that he did that with his mom. You know what I mean? Because, like, a lot of athletes talk about, like, winning the final game in the NHL in the Stanley Cup. It's like, I've heard a lot of, like, interviews with, like, players that have won cups where it's like, you're worrying about where they're going to go if they win. You need to, you know, this is where you've got to meet up. You can't, like, this is how they're going to get on the ice. These are all the tickets they've got. Everyone's flown in. Like, you don't get to, you have to, you don't have an agent to do all that. Maybe you do, but a lot of players don't, right? And it's like, could you imagine it was like the Thursday before his mom decided, okay, I'm going to fly. I'm going to come. He gets everyone in and like, you know, it's this, obviously it's like her last, like, you know, is what it is. And it's like, man, the whole family, like what that would have meant to their family. And it's 28-3 with 3 minutes to go in the third. Like, yeah. I remember watching that at a bar and being like ready to leave. And even when it was like they were slowly marching back, I was like, nah. And then that dude, that Edelman catch where he like bounces and he like manages to grab both ends like an inch before the ground. I was like, oh my God, they're going to win the fucking Super Bowl.
Yeah. Dude, that was amazing. I mean, dude, and it's weird because there's like probably 3 to 5 points in that game where it's like all Atlanta had to do was like not make a mistake. There was like a holding call,
dude,
in the fourth quarter.
The drive where they got knocked out of field goal range.
Yeah, the holding call.
That was it. Like because they got into field goal range and it was like 2 sacks, like that was.
No, do you want to know how smart Bill Belichick is though? Because I remember reading about this or I watched the video on it. There was like the pass rusher on that play to draw the holding call on the Falcons, right? That specific play where he was held, it wasn't really called that much during the NFL season, but the referee that was on the game had called it more than like, you know, whoever else like throughout really? The league. So they're like, do this. He's going to hold you there. This guy's going to call him. And they were able to draw that. Yeah. They were able to draw that penalty, get him out of field goal range.
And then he got sacked.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, wow. That's crazy. So I would definitely watch that. I think it's called Man in the Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And, what I love about Tom Brady is that everyone hated him for so long because of like all the stuff that went on, like the Flategate and like Spygate.
It was
and
real
all
stupid
that.
Stuff.
But people hate winners. True. Like I hated the Penguins. Yeah. You know, I appreciate Sidney Crosby now, but I can't stand the Penguins or like the Blackhawks. Right. Like that just happens when a team wins a lot and you don't get to experience that like as a fan. Right. But man, dude, I don't know. Like he's embraced it as his career went on. And then, like, at a certain point, it's like, you can hate all you want, but dude has 7 rings.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, sure, 2 of them may be tainted, maybe 3. He's still got 4 more.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I always thought that stuff records, was a little like bit overblown. Like, that Deflategate stuff was crazy because it was, like, some pressure in the ball.
Watching is like that was the season too. He got suspended the first 4 games that Atlanta Falcons season.
Yeah,
like so he talks about how like that season was awful because he had to sit there and watch. Like it was, I don't know. It's wild about all of that and like I completely forgot Wes Welker did not win a Super Bowl.
Hey, dude, he had that drop.
I was so like,
didn't
just
he have a
like,
drop against the Giants, like really bad?
That was yeah. Like, well, Tom didn't throw a really good ball, kind of threw behind him. But
he, no, dude, it's Wes Welker.
He would have
like
made that play like
catches.
A million times.
Yeah,
yeah. That and Wes Welker is on the video of that interview, and he's like, dude, he you could like see him ask a question. He's like trying not to cry.
Oh,
he's like,
was that like man. Was his part recorded recently? So he still feels like terrible about it.
Yeah,
dude, I would. Oh.
Yep. Yeah. As well, Giselle is on that episode, and I think the reason why is afterwards, some Giants fan is talking shit to her when she's like walking to the elevator to the stadium, and she's like, "Eli owns your husband," and she was like, obviously at the had enough, and she's like, "What the hell do you want him to do? Throw and catch the ball?" And it was like everyone was like Giselle hates Wes, like, and like they're like best friends.
Yeah,
and I like they go over that like how that's awful. Like it was just a bad like she tells the stories like they were laying in bed at the Super Bowl and she was like I was laying there like I made a big mistake and she's like she tells the story she's like we were laying in bed it's like I got to tell you something you know a guy was chirping and I said this and Tom I guess he like it shows back to Tom and he's like. Like just like oh man, like what did you do? Very next day, it's like every headline, like it's like
yeah. What
Giselle hates
what,
like blames
on, by
it
the
on
way. What's streaming?
It's on Disney Plus.
Okay, I got Disney Plus. Okay,
ESPN.
Perfect.
Yeah, watch it tonight. It's any sports fan you should watch it. But that was a long-winded one about Tom Brady. So probably good views on that.
We can do a whole podcast about Tom Brady.
I fucking love Tom Brady.
Probably more interesting right. than coffee and chow.
When we come back, it'll be GWC. Will be done.
Yeah,
we need to talk about the IHF thing, which is actually a really fun tournament. So we're going to talk about that when we get to the next episode.
Okay.
But guys, thank you for watching. I'll see you. We'll see you on the other side and peace out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.